In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Taking its name from the exhortation that opened our introit, Laetare Sunday is the time of rejoicing. Jerusalem, rejoice. You who were barren, find yourself now no longer barren. You who were in travail and in extremis, now find peace. God does indeed come to vindicate his people, and his vindication is in the person of our Lord and Savior, who comes in the flesh, is raised and a man to take up his cross and suffer and die in order that we might live. We hear in our Gospel from St. John the beginning of what we know as the sixth chapter, which is the Bread of Life discourse. The Lord feeds the 5,000. The Lord will walk on the water. And then the Lord will tell them what they must do if they want to participate in the everlasting life that he has come to establish for them. There is at times, brothers and sisters, a tendency to put in opposition the joy of the Christian life to which we are called this particular Sunday and the mystery of the crosses that we have been carrying and the mystery of the cross itself. And nothing could be further from the truth. There is joy in the cross of our Savior. And in truth, there really is no way of conceptualizing the Christian life unless one truly and boldly embraces the mystery of the Lord's cross, not as drudgery, not only as sacrifice and suffering, but as the means and mechanism by which new life, in which we do rejoice, is bestowed upon us. If we come to rejoice in the fact that we have been vindicated, if we come to give thanks to God for the blessings that he's bestowed upon us, the most concrete and best of ways we can express our gratitude is by doing the exact same things that the Lord himself did, and that means we must suffer as he himself suffered. We must die as he did, knowing now that as we die with Christ, we also will live with him. It is an interesting phenomena as we listen to the Bread of Life discourse and we grow closer to Holy Week. All of these people that have come out for one reason only, because they are looking for a sign. They want some proof that indeed Christ is who he says he actually is. And so he provides that to them. And of course, they want to make him king. But then at the conclusion of this gospel, when he tells them they must eat his flesh and drink his blood, so many of them abandon him because they find it too difficult. We would like to think, brothers and sisters, that we would be different, that somehow having the Word of God given to us, we would embrace it wholeheartedly and allow the Word of God to transform us. We would never walk away. We would never find the words of God and God's exhortation too difficult for us to take. And yet we know that is not true, because we know that we are sinners. And precisely in our sinfulness, it is a walking away from God instead of embracing the cross. And much like the crowd that goes out to see signs, we're pleased and happy with God. We rejoice in God when we get what we want. But as soon as there is difficulty, as soon as there is sacrifice, we crumble under those sacrifices. We grumble under the cross. We find ourselves angry and at odds with God because life is difficult, because crosses must be borne. But brothers and sisters, the cross of Christ brings new life. The cross of Christ is the source of our joy. There is no reason to shy away from the sacrifices that we might be asked to make. And as a concrete way, the disciplines that we have undertaken in our Lenten season, we need to double and triple our efforts to remain steadfast in these remaining weeks. We might be tempted to think, because we are almost at an end, I can be lax in my disciplines. Again, nothing further from the truth. This is not the time to be lax. This is the time to be forceful and strong and disciplined, so that when in the fullness of time you come to the sacred mysteries during the sacred triduum, you, like Our Lady and the beloved disciple, can stand at the foot of the cross. You can peer upon our suffering Lord, who is there because of your sins. And instead of running away in fear, instead of betraying or denying him, instead of abandoning him, you can be there with him in his sorrow, that you might also rejoice with him in the new life that he's gained for us. And so indeed, rejoice, Jerusalem. But understand why you rejoice. You rejoice not only in the power of God made manifest in this very Eucharistic sacrifice, God who continues to feed you, God who continues to provide for you in a very clear and concrete way, that the promises that he wants to fulfill have indeed been fulfilled. And many of you will come forward to receive the living God. And that act of reception is pledging you to embrace the fullness of what is represented in the Eucharistic sacrifice. If you're going to receive the living God and take advantage of the new life that he bestows upon you, then every aspect of your being must correspond to the reality that you receive, which means you must rejoice in the crosses that the Lord has placed upon you. This is the true and authentic reason for our joy in the mystery of the Lord. Because through death, we have been set free. By sacrifice and suffering, our lives have been restored. This great gift that has been given to us is something that we simply do not deserve. All the more reason for us to rejoice. St. Paul reminds the Colossians, all of this is because we are free, set free from the slavery to sin by the sacrifice of our Savior. And so indeed rejoice, Jerusalem, because your vindication is soon at hand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.